Listen like.
No.
Lisa hier, der Bombat. Mechanics.
Oh my god.
You shall go
twist.
To
Big Mechanics.
The planet core.
Yeah.
Now,
book four is go. Actually all from his perspective. That's the plot
He'd
twist.
Be muy, muy
yeah. good. No. That you were Gollum. See? Lots of different
Exterminate.
Interpretations.
Welcome to Game of Thrones, episode one. Wait, episode 64.
Yes, we're brand new at this. So if we do something wrong, that's why. Every episode should just be first.
Think Yusa started out the show with the Star Wars reference, Eric. That's a win.
I didn't mean to. I think it was Selena mentioning, what was it, the title of one of the episodes?
Season finale is going to introduce Jar Jar Binks to the world of Game of Thrones. We're very excited.
We're breaking ground on new fandoms. We're cutting the ribbon, if you will.
It's titled Misa. So besides that, we obviously know what the finale is all about. But what about these other ones, like Walk of Punishment?
I should just mention that we do know that Misa is not, I mean, it's High Valyrian for something else.
No, please email us and tell us.
Okay, yeah. We'd have no please. Idea. Please all tell us. But
we do
don't
welcome
spoil
feedback.
Anything, please.
I think that season four should open with then Yusa. That should be, it should be from Misa to Yusa. That's what should happen.
It's Friday. It's Game of Thrones. We had a different episode planned for you guys.
We've made the ascent into our Friday show. Obviously a different Friday show than we were thinking of doing, but it is an ascent nevertheless. And speaking of the ascent, we are all, the three of us on this show, and maybe even Micah, are playing the Facebook game Game of Thrones Ascent, which we do want to bring up really quickly here.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. We had such a good time recording with the dudes from Disruptor Beam that we decided, let's just have them on another episode and make it a bigger, better, more bombastic, totally fantastic episode. But we are playing the game in the meantime. And yes, there is an official goo group that Miss Selena is helming
yes,
right now.
Yes, please join our goo group. It's just called Game of Thrones, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
And it's really,
it's
you guys should all join it because I think that together we can rule Westeros. My character's name is Danny Dark. And I think that that's pretty badass, and I fully intend to rise in the ranks. So come join us. I may possibly be marrying Eric. Haven't decided yet.
Theoph Greyjoy.
Theoph Greyjoy, excuse me.
What's your power score right now, guys?
My power score? I don't know. Yeah. My rank is like 39,000 something.
Dude, I'm 37,000 something.
Oh, man, you're ahead of me.
Boom.
That's okay. I got a sworn sword, and we broadcast live from Helm's Keep. So,
oh, okay.
Mine is
well,
called
good.
The Fortress of Goo, which is pretty awesome.
I'm from Candle Keep. That's where they keep candles.
That's okay. Nice. Hey, the children of the candles are very important.
Catching shadow cats right now, searching for dragon eggs, cooking feasts.
So we had a good time chatting with the guys, and there's a lot of stuff. We wanted to fit it into a bigger gap.
But what you guys should know is that this game is something they've been working on since before season one aired. That's how much energy and effort has gone into this. So, and now it's live in beta over on Facebook.
Yep. We'll put a link in the show notes. You can click on it unless you're on your iPhones. I don't know if it's an iPhone compatible game.
I wonder. It's just, there's so much to read. I have trouble. I have to scroll down just to read all the cool stuff that's like on the page and all the options it's giving me and stuff. So
we decided to go ahead and continue this Friday chatting about the book because we know how much you guys love the chapter by chapter and stuff. So this week we're talking about Bran. He's the next guy. He's the next dude. Brandon. He's next.
And we learn that Hodor is a scared of the dark. Or
he's a scared?
He's a scared. Actually, maybe not of the dark, but
maybe
of the
crypts.
Crypts.
Yes.
I don't know what this is, but Bran came up with this brilliant idea where he and Hodor combined, like with your powers combined, I am Sir Bran Hodor.
He goes, we could become a knight together.
I feel like we're stepping into, what is it? Is it Snow White, you know, and the dwarves where you see them dancing and that's just Bran and Hodor?
What?
You know, in the Disney film? This is.
Oh, yeah. She's been spending a lot of time outside lately, guys.
but Master Lewin didn't like the idea. Obviously, he's and then Bran was like, wasn't there that blind knight? And Master Lewin was like, yes, but these are wives' tales. So apparently Lewin gets schooled in this chapter. A lot of things are not agreeing with him. Rickon's wolf, and stories that he tries to refute, but everybody seems to be on Bran's side. Bran, who of course continues to see the three-eyed raven or the Three-Eyed Crow. And I did want to mention that this chapter was very, had a very supernatural overpresence to it, I thought.
It really did. And it had, you know, it had a lot more of, I don't want to say magic, but it had a lot more sort of going on underneath the surface that a lot of the other chapters have, because we have Bran and Rickon who clearly have some kind of prescient power of some sort that we don't really know what is yet. But I mean, they knew. They see dead people in their dreams. And they know what's happening somehow. And that's very, very interesting.
Do you think it's dead people in general, or they're somehow connected clairvoyantly to the crypts?
I mean, either it could be a Stark thing, you know, because of something to do, maybe something to do with the wolves, very possibly.
They spoke so much about the Children of the Forest in this chapter. I couldn't help but to just assume that somehow it's in their bloodline.
It's it's really cool that you bring that up, because we also learned that the Starks are really the only ones who were not able to fall to the Andals, right? They couldn't defeat them. And so that's why the Starks that worship the old gods, the same gods that the Children of the Forest worshipped. So I would say there's definitely something behind that. You know, the idea that the Starks would somehow be, you know, imbued with extra or supernatural senses because they worshiped the old gods as opposed to the new ones.
When they were taken down in the crypt, we got sort of an unofficial history lesson from Luwin, which is a great mechanic in the chapter because it's from Bran's point of view. And rather than it being sort of taught to him for the first time, Luwin was more of prompting Bran to teach Natalie Tenna, Miss Asha, who was carrying him around the crypts instead of Hodor because he was too scared. He was prompting Bran to teach her about it. Mm-hmm. So they're both sort of having a back and forth about the history of Westeros, essentially. And the short version is that the Children of the Forest were sort of always there, and they fought with obsidian weapons, which are weapons made of dragon glass. I think we should all carry dragon glass swords, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm up for that.
Yeah. They're forged in the Mouth of Hades, otherwise known as by Mount the gods Doom. Inside of the earth. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mount Doom. And they lived in harmony. They were the Kokiri kids, just hanging out. The Great Deku Tree the Weirwood, excuse me, is where they swore their allegiances. And they lived there until bad things happened to them.
It's funny because you say the Kokiri, and I definitely got those vibes from them. But even more than that, I just got the Hobbit vibes. How you say that word? Vibes. Because they felt like...
I got the
like
Hobbit wives.
The wives. I got all the
it's
wives.
It's a disorder. Oh, no.
But no, but it seemed so blatant to me. It seemed like... I mean, this was a people, you know, the Tolkien talked about how the hobbits were this little people that lived peacefully and then others came and then they slowly sort of died out over time. And aww. It feels, I know, Bilbo's dead. no, there. But
you
so
never died, damn it.
No, you're right. It doesn't count. But so
it's a Valinor.
I feel like it's very similar to that. That's at least what I picked up from it.
You know, reading this chapter, I felt such a duality because you guys know that I love the Children so much, the Children of the Forest, every time Luwin mentions them. But I could not get behind Rickon in this chapter.
Oh my god,
because
I
swear, who let that kid get out of
the dog out?
Who forgot to chain him? Who forgot to chain him to his
who
post?
Who let the wolf out?
I mean, not the wolf. I'm actually talking about the kid. I'm talking about the kid at this time. What is Rickon doing wandering the crypts, hanging
out? He's a lordling. Who's going to stop him?
Who's going to stop him? Somebody's got to
stop me, huh?
I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
I mean, he's four. He's 4 years old. He should not be able to. But that was what it was like back then. In our years, he's like eight.
Right.
Still-ish.
I still think Westeros is a real planet that's just in the next galaxy. It's an Andromeda. We just haven't gone to it
and
yet.
And ages are different than they are here.
That's and funny. George came traveling on a comet to Earth. That's how we got the story.
La, 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 la.
It's like my favorite
Where
Martian.
Do you think he got those suspenders, man?
That's where they come from.
It's comet fire.
Sure.
It's even stronger than dragon fire. It's really funny because the Children of the Forest are so much like hobbits. When you really think about it.
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, I haven't read, so I really can't dispute it, other than to say I don't know hobbits to have been very magical at all.
Well, they're magical in different ways. I mean, obviously, there's going to be, from shifting to one story to another, we know that George was influenced and inspired a lot by Tolkien's lore.
Good point.
And so, you know, writing a character loosely based or inspired by is totally fine. That's creative license. That's part of being a good artist is writing what you love. And him doing so and making these Children of the Forest like this, I wonder if their future is going to be like the future of the Hobbits, because we know at the end of Lord of the Rings, at the end of Return of the King, when Aragorn retakes the throne of Gondor, what he essentially does is he takes all of the land in Middle-earth, basically all of it. He gives Gimli a kingdom, Legolas gets a kingdom, they make Lothlorien bigger instead of Mirkwood, and then the only place he leaves, sort of not his, is the Shire. And he gives Mordor back to the slaves that were there. But, like, he leaves the Shire, and he allows them to sort of grow and progress and kind of stick to their ways. So I'm wondering, at the end of all this, do you guys think that whoever takes the seat is going to somehow harvest and like make these Children of the Forest grow back to power, essentially?
I hope so, but I would say it depends on what they've become, because the Children of the Forest haven't been seen in so long. And Asha says they're still around, that they're north of the wall. She hints at this, hints at that. But by the time Master Lewin, you know, gets to that part in the story where the Children of the Forest had to get pushed north some, a raven arrives and he doesn't finish telling the story. But I worried that the children didn't not become the White Walkers or have some kind of responsibility.
Oh, damn.
Who, you know, have some kind of responsibility for the magic that is coming from the north now. Really worried about that, because Asha is talking about, you know, talking to Bran about winter and how winter has no king. If you'd, you know, if you'd seen it or lived it, you'd know.
Oh, yes.
It's so harsh,
nice,
you know? And I was thinking, shit, these Children of the Forest are angry after the Andals came and kicked them out and burned all their trees down. Here's the thing. They had to deal with the First Men coming and burning their trees down. And then they had 4,000 years of friendship. But then some other guys came, killed everybody, and burned all the rest of the trees. So
yeah,
nobody's 1,000
years can do a lot to change you. A lot.
Yeah. So I would absolutely really worry. Theory. I would worry that the White Walkers are from them. If not, they are them.
That's cool. So you don't think that any are in Lower Westeros?
Oh, the children? I don't think so. Well, if the Starks are the only ones who share their gods anymore, I don't think so, because they're, you know, as north as it gets.
That's interesting. It opens up a whole lot. You know, we kind of get all this thrown in our face. Rickon's hiding in the crypt, and they go and they visit Lyanna's tomb and things like that, and they're talking more about the history and telling Asha about it. And Rickon's wolf attacks Lewin. They go up to the tower to get it all mended, and then we get all of these bits of history sort of thrown in our face.
We get more Lyanna too.
Yeah,
well, Lyanna and Brandon.
We do. It just came right out of his mouth.
Lyanna and Brandon both have statues. Those statues are supposed to be reserved for lords and ladies. Why? So Lewin says what? Ned liked them so much, or he adored them so much, he commissioned those stones to be made. He's like, screw tradition. We're going to give my sister and her and my brother their own statues. But really, do you think that Ned knew something that nobody else knew, that they were secretly lords or something?
No, I think mostly it was because he just died in the last chapter and George wanted us to feel even worse. So he's like, oh, look, he's a nice dude.
Here's the other thing about the Starks, because they have this tradition of, you know, being buried in the crypts with this stone thing. At the very, very end, when the raven arrives at the end of the chapter, I'm going to quote this here, because this is pretty, this really brings up a question here. Okay, so when Master Lewin gets the raven and he looks up from the letter, he says, "My lords, we shall need to find a stone carver who knew his likeness well." So, do the Starks, like, wouldn't it be fortuitous? Wouldn't it be important for them to, like, have a family of stone carvers following them, like, their whole lives, getting to know them? Shouldn't they be befriending? Shouldn't there be, like, an honorary stone carver
That's
family
terrible,
in Winterfell?
Though. Don't you think it's
chilling?
Already morbid enough that they are looking at the places where they'll be buried? Like, really, when you think about it, you know, they go to visit this place.
I think it's quite
and then
comforting.
It's like, one day you'll be here dead.
I think it's comforting to be.
I have a plot purchase for me as well.
Right, do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Do you go visit it, though?
Well, when I'm visiting other people that aren't me, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I guess that's not that strange. I just feel like it's so eerie, you know?
I've told my parents since I was 4 that I'm going to be frozen instead, so I hate to... They'll probably end up trying to bury me before they're gone. I'm sure that'll happen. And if that's the case, I'm just going to demand to be frozen.
Frozen? Freezing ice is the way to go, man.
I want to come back as a White Walker. I mean, what other option is there?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good call.
Leading up until the reveal there where the Raven Crow bird thing lands... It's so weird because Lewin's already a little messed up in the head from getting bit. And he's also a little bothered the fact that Rickon was down there waiting because he had been speaking to his father in his dream, just like Bran had been telling Lewin the whole chapter.
Yeah.
And the entire chapter, Asha's also like in the ear being like, ah, those stories could be true. Eh, children of the north or children of the forest just went north. Yeah, there's giants and crazy stuff. I've seen it all. So she's just kind of like... trolling the entire time, trolling Lewin. He's like, come on, asshole. I'm trying to hang out with these kids. But like there right before the bird situation happens, like I'm talking 3 or 4 paragraphs before. It's actually really interesting. If you guys haven't read it, you should. They know, like the Raven lands and Rickon starts crying. Like yeah. They know. Bran knows. Asha knows. She goes, and they're like, what's that for? And she goes, you know what that's for, Lewin, or whatever. And he opens it, and he starts crying too. So it's just so strange, because a raven could come. It could be news about anything.
Yeah.
You know? But they knew.
Yes. Bringing us George back to wrote their that weird
for a purpose.
Powers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He wrote that for a purpose, to inject even more magic and mystery. And, you know, cascading through the books, there's so much about battle and strategy and, you know, who's having sex with who and yada, yada, yada. But these past few chapters, especially this one, it's just like, hey, there's a whole book series coming. Here it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's so much more magical than the TV show, though.
I do agree with that. And I was surprised how magical this whole chapter was, that Bran and Rickon are sharing the same dreams and it's about Ned dying. But if you look at the chapter's position as being pretty much at the end of the book, it really does do what the season 2 finale did, I think, too, which was, you know, whet your appetite for magic and mystery.
And not only that, but it also brings an importance to Bran, which I don't think he had anymore because I think that, you know, Bran was sort of like our eyes into the story, but he always felt like an observer. But at this point, we're sort of realizing, despite the fact that he's as young as he is, he's actually going to have some kind of role to play, you know, as we get to see a little bit more of in season 2. Like, he's going to have his own journey, which might have something to do with the fact that he and Rickon seem to be able to do this, which we haven't seen from any of the other Stark children.
And it could have to do with the fact that there are very few men in Winterfell left. You know, Ned Stark took the creme de la creme with him, and Robb Stark took the creme brulee, all the rest of the people with him. And according to Roderick Cassell, all that's left are a bunch of groundhogs and hedgehogs. No, geese and hedgehogs.
You fight like a goose.
You fight like a goose, and you goose fight like fighter. A hedgehog.
You can't fight like geese. Look at your arms chopped off.
How do you fight like a hedgehog, though? Like, think about it.
Well, Sonic does it really well in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. So he's a good character. He's got lots of speed.
That is very, very true.
You got to watch his A down, though. That's a devastating attack.
A down? Yeah, the spin? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to give my own of the episode to him for being such a badass in the fighting fields out there training people. You goose. You silly geese. You goosin'.
My own goes to Asha for trolling, like you said, Zach. She just knows so much, and unfortunately, because it's a plot device, will not be given the opportunity to speak about it.
Mm-mm-mm.
My own is a quote, which Eric was alluding to earlier, which was Asha, or Osha as well. She said, "Winter's got no king. If you'd seen it, you'd know that, summer boy." And I was like, "His wolf is called Summer. Oh my gosh.
Don't this call him that. His wolf is Summer."
So cool. Well, I love the whole winter thing.
Do you have an own, listener? I'm speaking to you, John.
Yes,
you
I
just
do.
Just broke the fourth wall.
Sally, Evan. Or even, maybe your name's Selena.
Oh my gosh. Is there Selena listening? I want
to
know.
We have to murder her, so there can be only one.
Only one, Selena. Watch out,
you're the Jamie Lannister of goo.
Only one.
Well, if you're there,
there are no Selenas like me. Only me.
You have something to say. Maybe a quick hello. Maybe you want to tell us your real name. Actually, you know what? Just email us and tell us your real name if you're there. and we'll sort through it and we'll find them and we'll put them in the folder of real names and we'll be able to use those later. They're like currency. If you want to do that, you can email that to contact@gameofowns.com. That is our email address.
It is indeed. You can also go check out hypable.com, which is hypable.com, where we have news about all kinds of stuff that isn't just Game of Thrones. Oh my gosh, we like other things. And we just posted today, as we talked about earlier in the show, we just posted the 8 out of the 10 titles for season 3 of Game of Thrones. Ooh, so go read them and speculate. Yeah.
And a new month means a new new month to vote for us on iTunes. To rate our podcast, not vote for us.
Oh, here it comes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Vote for goo.
A new month means that the spell has been broken and iTunes now would allow you to rate typically something less than 5 stars. However,
what?
If you were to rate Game of Thrones, we do request that you rate it only 5 stars or suffer.
Take his head for treason!
Suffer season 3, episode 3, The Walk of Punishment.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
Which does not sound very fun.
You'll have to run the gauntlet.
Indeed, they will.
Eric's like the Sphinx at the end of the hedge maze, guys. You don't want to do it.
Dude, but episode 7 doesn't sound so bad. The Bear and the Maiden Fair. It sounds like bestiality.
Anyway, Twitter's a place where you can tell us how weird that was. It's twitter.com/GameOfOwns. It's where we tweet sometimes. There's a Twitter account there. If you would navigate to your favorite application or web browser of your choice, you can do that. And while you're there, you can probably press some kind of a tab function, open new tab, head over to Game of Owns at Facebook. It's just facebook.com/GameOfOwns. And there you can join all those other people that are really nice and liking and commenting. And we post funny pictures and cool pictures there sometimes.
And so while you're on Facebook, you can also play Game of Thrones Ascent, the new video game that we talked about at the top of this show.
Yeah, check it out. It's fun. You guys can make cool names. I was the lame one. Everyone made cool names. My name is just Z-Z-E Baratheon. I just thought that's what you're supposed to do. So
fail.
Don't be like me, guys.
Looking at the leaderboards, though, Zach, there's like... other people did it too, like Derek Lannister.
A whole bunch of misspelled Targaryens. Game of Thrones, guys, it's Friday. We're here.
And we'll see you on Monday. I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Zach Louie.
And I'm Danny Dark.
Misa, I'll be seeing you later.
Misa.
That was terrible.
Hello. Goodbye.